Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, man? How's it going? There he is. I think we got Ryan now on the line. Ryan, how's it going?
What's up, boys?
Hope you're doing well. And Ryan, obviously some title games this weekend, conference championship weekend. This used to be, as a young child for me, one of the most exciting weekends of the year. And I feel like conference championship weekend has lost its luster in college football. Do you feel the same way? Do conference title games still mean as much to you as they once did?
Well, obviously the newness wore off, but the reality is, I live in Charlotte, so tomorrow afternoon I'll be at the ACC championship game. And, what I think kind of reinvigorated conference championships for me was the playoff. Because, I'm a four-team playoff guy. I was not that in the beginning, but as the years have gone along, I have become a believer in that. And the reason is because it should be hard. It should be really difficult to get to play for a national championship. And so, the four best teams, in my opinion, have always been in the thing. But those are elimination games, these conference championship games. It got to the point where it just didn't matter. I went to so many conference championship games, ACC, SEC. I went to a Big 12 game one year. And in the end, you kind of knew going in, especially during the BCS era, that it just kind of didn't matter. And these games matter. I mean, listen, this Notre Dame-Clemson game tomorrow night, this really matters, and I'll be there. And, if Kyle Trask has a Kyle Trask night and somehow or another they defeat Alabama, I think it might matter. And so people who want to expand the playoff, I've always argued that, there's already a bracket there. And that bracket, to me, starts with the conference championship game. So that's a long way of saying they don't bother me. The magic of it isn't there. I mean, I'm old enough to – I was a student at Tennessee when they played the first one. And famously, I was interviewed. They had a camera crew walking around campus interviewing Tennessee students. But who are you going to root for in the Alabama-Florida inaugural SEC championship game in 92? And my answer to WBIR was I was pulling for a meteor strike.
Oh, that's awesome. Joe, go ahead.
So, Ryan – I've been totally on your team here with the four team and arguing against any more expansion. I mean, you just brought up an example. This game means a lot. If we had an 18 playoff right now, this game would mean nothing. It would mean seeding for Notre Dame and Clemson, right? There's an example. Every year there are examples of games that would be rendered irrelevant if it was expanded. However, like this year, this week's rankings and just the – it's not like this is new information, but just the reinforcement of the fact that like these teams like Cincinnati just aren't going to get a shot. I'm changing a little bit. Like I feel like, even though we're probably not getting good games out of it, the same teams will blow out those teams and then play each other. I'm opening up to an expansion just so at least those teams have access to the opportunity.
Will they though? I mean, I get it. I've said this all along. If you promise me, if Bill Hancock and the commissioners of the Power Five, if they sit there and tell me that the Gang of Five, like the non-Power Five conferences, will get a seat at the table, then I'd be willing to entertain that idea. They'll screw them anyway. It won't matter. What they'll do is if they expand to eight, which would be the next move, what they'll do is they will do the same thing they've done with the New Year's Six thing, which is they'll throw them a bone, and they'll throw them some money. They'll throw them a lot of money, which is why you don't hear the group of five commissioners complain about it very much, because they make a lot of money off this thing, like $90 million. And so they will throw them a bone, and they will say, all right, Coastal, you're in. And everyone else, tough noogies, you're not invited. And Coastal, you're going to Tuscaloosa. That is literally the only thing they'll do. if they expand that thing to 8.
Yeah.
And so if you sit there and tell me we're going to expand this thing and all the you know the five group of five champions get to go, or a couple of them get to go, you know, then I want to hear about it. But if all it's going to be is the one team gets in and they automatically have to go to the number one seed opening weekend and play a home game or play an away game against the you know, Alabama, Florida, Ohio State, take your pick, then I just, you know, what I don't even see the point in that. I was at the UMBC-Virginia game, and that's only happened once.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Ryan, I was looking at the line for, like, this Clemson-Notre Dame game, and Clemson's favored by 10.5 points coming into this game. And I don't believe that this is going to happen. Like, what happens if Notre Dame just gets absolutely demolished in this game? Are they still going to be in the college football playoff at the end of it?
Well, yeah, I think then it does become a conversation of what happens everywhere else. But it's that's the one scenario. I think a close game, then the ACC can pull an SEC and get two teams in the playoff. You know, obviously Notre Dame win and they're in. And if it's close and Clemson's got Trevor Lawrence, you know, that committee has had – the committee has no problem with two-loss teams. We've learned that this year.
Yeah.
So then they still have a chance. But, yeah, the one scenario that no one in Greensboro, which is where the ACC offices are, the one scenario they don't want is that one. But I'll say this, as someone who grew up in the Carolinas and grew up on Tobacco Road, there's a lot of people pulling against Notre Dame because they're not super fired up about this whole – they don't want to be a full-time member of the conference. And in the 1 year they're the full-time member of the conference, they got a chance to win the conference championship.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for them. Who's your
Notre Dame, right? I mean, it's I get it. They haven't won a national championship since 88 or whatever, but it's so Notre Dame that the 1 year that they would you know be so gracious as to bestow a full membership upon the ACC for a year. Now they've got a chance to win the conference championship.
So what? Yeah, let's go through that Notre Dame winning scenario. You know, Ohio State does what we expect. Texas A&M, you know, looks really good in Knoxville. Clemson has two losses. A lot of people looking at Ohio State like, man, we're hearing it more and more. You know, six games. How can that compare with teams playing 10 or 11 games? I don't think that's going to ultimately matter to the committee, but who's the four in that scenario?
I mean, listen, A&M, their only loss is to the best team in the country. And it's funny because I think the part of it that no one has talked about very much is what you're talking about. They're playing a football game. Like that's the part that's crazy to me. And I think going forward this is something we might see, which is instead of just having, you know, conference championship games on that Saturday, you know, we might have this like Big Ten thing where it's like, you know, number two versus number two, number three versus number three. You know, in the future, as BYU and Coastal have shown us, you can get on a plane and go somewhere within the last minute. And you know, teams do it for the conference championship games all the time. So but yeah, the fact that they're playing is a super, super interesting aspect of all this because, in a normal year, the hay's in the barn, you know, in College Station, and it doesn't matter. But I don't suspect they're going to struggle with Tennessee, and so it's going to be. But I listen. If A&M's only loss is to the number one team in the country, and all of a sudden there's an opening there, and heaven knows they love to put two SEC teams in the playoffs.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, last thing for you here, looking ahead to the SEC title game tomorrow between Alabama and Florida. Number one, what do you make of the matchup? And could the top three Heisman candidates all be on the same field in this game? And if so, who do you think's the favorite right now?
We could have like four of the five. You know, yeah. It's funny. We were just talking about this on Marty McGee Wednesday night. At ESPN.com, you know, we have a Heisman poll, and everybody that has a Heisman ballot votes. It's like a dozen people. And Najee Harris has been number one in that poll at one point this year. Mac Jones is number one. Like, four of the guys who will be in this game. I think five. I don't think Kyle Pitts was number one in our poll.
How about some Kyle Pitts? Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's five Heisman candidates in the game. If Kyle Pitts had played last weekend, I think he would be on the list. And so yeah, it's an interesting situation because, you know, does the splitting votes hurt the guys like we've seen happen in the past? I mean, this happened with Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. So, I'm curious to see if that's the situation. But, yeah, I mean, there's so much talent on the field. And this is the part where I enjoy, you know, the other conferences starting to complain about this and that and so-and-so. And I'm not being an SEC Network homer. The reality is the talent is what it is. And so, you know, but Kyle Pitts not playing last weekend was huge. And the fact that he'll be back now and rested and ready to go is very huge. And so, you know, if they've got a chance, I mean, listen, everybody says Alabama's defense this, Alabama's defense that. I promise you Florida has watched the Ole Miss film 75,000 times.
Yeah.
And they've found evidence for Kyle Pitts. So I'm really curious. It's going to be Kyle and Kyle versus everybody from Alabama.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. Ryan, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, boys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll get a little bit deeper into the college football playoff. What's it going to take for one of Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State to not make the playoff? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexha here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Call Your Shot Friday coming your way at 7:45. So make sure you're getting ready for that. Get your bold predictions in the world of sports ready to go, and we'll get to those at 7:45. Joe, a great conversation in the last segment with Ryan McGee from ESPN talking about the college football playoff. And it is interesting, like the Notre Dame-Clemson game tomorrow, which we're going to have here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, very interesting to me because the line right now, Clemson minus 10.5. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence will play in this game for Clemson. And I'm interested, like if Clemson goes in there and wins by, you know, a couple touchdowns or even three scores, they put up, you know, a 50 spot on Notre Dame and they win 50-31, what happens to Notre Dame in this situation? I don't know if I think that'll happen. Like, I think it's going to be a pretty good game, similar to how it went the first time. But, like, if Clemson comes in there and just steamrolls past Notre Dame with Trevor Lawrence in at quarterback, what happens to Notre Dame? Are they a guarantee at this point to get in the playoff in your mind?
Ah, gosh, I think so. I think it would take, like, I think it would take some crazy, you know, like just an absolute, like a complete humiliation. And even then, I mean, one loss, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, it's not like when Notre Dame beat Clemson that it was Clemson scored 10 because they didn't have Trevor Lawrence. Not that he's not better than Uyalele, and I probably didn't do great there. I figured I'd give it a try.
It was close.
But
A for effort.
Yeah, thanks. That was much better. Good job.
Thank you.
That offense was fine. I mean, you know, they outscored them. That it's the same Clemson defense, you know. And so I think that win actually counts better because Clemson's offense looked great, if that makes any sense at all. I think it would have to be like an all-time humiliation. Like, oh my gosh, this team doesn't belong anywhere near the field. And even then, I'm not sure it gets them out. If it's just your run-of-the-mill, Clemson wins by 17, 20 points. I don't think that would move Notre Dame out. I think Notre Dame's virtually a lock to get in along with Alabama.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, if Clemson beats Notre Dame, will the committee move them to number 4 to avoid a trilogy? That is interesting to me. Like if Clemson pulls this off and Notre Dame has just the one loss, Ohio State gets in, but they've only got 6 games played on the year, do they move Ohio State up to 3, move Notre Dame down to 4 to avoid having Clemson and Notre Dame play each other for the third time this year. I would expect them to do that. I think you'd have Alabama against Notre Dame and then Clemson against Ohio State, which would be a great playoff matchup there, I think. But I don't expect if Notre Dame loses this game that they stay, that they would move down to number 3. I think they'd go all the way to number 4, even though I think you could make a pretty good argument that they would deserve the 3 spot at that time.
Well, so let's say Notre Dame, you know, like loses like 37-34 to Clemson, and then Ohio State beats Northwestern like by a touchdown. It would be hilarious to hear the committee justify doing that, but that's what they would still do because this is an invitational for television. I mean, that's what it is. And they are not going to have that game played a third time, you know, less than 2 weeks after it was just played. But yeah, that scenario where really there's no justification for Ohio State to move past Notre Dame, that would be – it would be funny. It would be funny to hear Gary Barta explain that one. I mean, his explanations are quite entertaining.
That game-winning field goal Ohio State had against Northwestern was just – it really pushed them over the top into the 3 seed.
Yeah, you know, Ohio State, I mean, you know, their starting left guard had kind of a tummy ache. You guys don't realize that. And so we put that into our metrics.
Yeah.
And, you know, otherwise they would have won by probably 2-3 touchdowns.
That or they just move Clemson up to like number 1. They just pass Alabama. Clemson goes to number 1, and you got Bama at number 2.
Oh man. Boy. That'd go over well.
Yeah, that'd go over really well. I'm just looking like it could set up potentially to be a pretty wild weekend. Like I don't expect it to happen, but just based on the rankings that we talked about earlier this week with Iowa State moving up to number 6, A&M's just sitting there at number 5 right now. You've still got Florida at 7. Like, the wild, wild scenario this weekend is that Florida somehow finds a way to beat Alabama, and then Notre Dame beats Clemson, and they're out. Ohio State, I guess, would lose to Northwestern. Like, what happens then? Like, none of those things are probably going to happen. But what happens if, like, Alabama loses, Clemson loses, and Ohio State loses? I have no clue what the playoff would look like. Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, if Ohio State loses, they're out. They're absolutely out. I mean, there's no way they can be in. So
you don't think so? I think there could be a way.
Like, no, I don't. Because look, there's already a groundswell against them getting in, and you know, and I get it. And they're going to get in if they win because they just are. But no, if they lose that game, they really don't have a case at all. Because I mean, their best win is, you know, Indiana. I mean, they should have found a way to have them play Iowa this week. That's the strongest team in the Big Ten other than Ohio State. But regardless, they would be out. Yeah. So Alabama loses, they're still in.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's
would think so
for sure. Now Clemson is interesting to me, you know. In various scenarios, Clemson as a 2-loss team still getting in. That's where I look and say, man, could, you know, because Texas A&M, like Ryan McGee said last segment, Texas A&M absolutely has a case.
Yeah.
You know, they lost long ago they lost long ago to Alabama, but you know, they beat Florida. They've won every other game. If they look good this weekend, and that's an interesting point too, they actually have a chance to flex this weekend. Unfortunately, maybe for the Vols, you know, the Texas A&M knows, you know, depending on other things, they're going to need help. But if they look really good, so one of these scenarios, it could, like, if it's Clemson with 2 losses and then Texas A&M, to me, it should be a Texas A&M anyway, like a slam dunk. But boy, there's going to be sentiment for Clemson still, because there will be, what we will have is, yeah, but they'd only have 1 loss. The problem is you can't make that claim if they lose this game. But so people will still try to make the case for them. They didn't have Trevor Lawrence, their best player, you know. That one will be – and, boy, Dabo will be insufferable. My gosh. Dabo will just – we need to get it to where it's like it's either Clemson or Ohio State, because, Dabo will just – he will go off.
Now, what we need to have happen is a situation where Clemson loses and Florida wins – and you've got Dabo Swinney and Dan Mullen like bickering back and forth at each other at who deserves to be in the college football playoff. Oh. That would be right up Joe Rexroad's alley right there.
That would be amazing. Just a total whiner cage match, you know, whiny coaches cage match. And but what they would do is they would end up just locking arms and ripping Ohio State for an hour.
Yeah, probably so. Well, if only we had played, you know, six games, we'd be in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you what. Well, Dan, you know what's a great idea? Not losing to LSU.
Yeah, a team that you were favored by 23 against, yes.
Throw that in your plan. I do think Florida will – I think they'll come out and, you know, I think they'll play well. I mean, I think they'll play well offensively. I mean, I think they'll put up points and they will – you know, they've got to play from ahead in this game. They need to come out early, get a lead, maybe get some stop somehow, you know, and try to put pressure on Alabama. They have no chance defensively. But I think they're going to come out and do some things offensively. Hopefully we'll have a fun game.
We'll see. I think the demise of Alabama's defense has been way exaggerated. They got lit up in the Ole Miss game. Really, outside of that, they've been okay. I mean, they've been pretty good on defense. And the problem I have with Florida in this matchup, they can't run. They cannot run the ball. And Alabama knows that. Alabama's great against the run anyway. So if you give Bama like a chance to just pin their ears back and put the rush on Kyle Trask and know that the pass is coming, I don't know. I think Alabama could roll pretty easily in this game.
Yeah, it is hard to not be able to control clock with the run game at all. But and you're right. Alabama's had one terrible night, which was fun for all of us, and they've been good. I still think Florida's offense is good enough to go up and down the field on that defense. I do. But yeah, they've gotten better, and so that's it's a mismatch. I mean, it really is overall because, you know, Alabama can get some stops in this game. I mean, Florida getting stops in this game is an accident. But with a good start, you know, you get a turnover, you get, you know, a block kick, something like that. Get yourself ahead and put some pressure on them, and maybe we'll see a game. I am excited about Notre Dame-Clemson. Honestly, I thought, you know, back even when Notre Dame beat them, I'm like, okay, so now Clemson will just run them off the field in the in the rematch, but I think we might have a good one there. I really do.
Well, let me ask you this. If Notre Dame finds a way to win that game and Ian Book has another big game, does he start to kind of to thrust himself up towards the top of the Heisman list? Like, I'm not saying he's going to pass Mac Jones or Devontae Smith, but does he put himself maybe in third at that time, assuming that Alabama just goes out and beats Florida tomorrow? Like, can Ian Book vault himself up to third in the Heisman conversation?
I think that's a good question, and I think, yeah. I mean, he could be – he's right on the fringe of my ballot right now. You know, I've got the three guys in the game in Atlanta tomorrow, the three main guys. But, yeah, I mean, I think if he has a huge game, they win, and, you know, maybe – you know, like Alabama rolls and Trask is so-so, then maybe Book gets that third spot. You know, something like that. I don't see him – going all the way, but I do think he's been kind of overlooked here.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler texts in and says, if Notre Dame, Northwestern, and Florida all win, the Final Four will be Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and then Ohio State versus Clemson for the four spot, with Dan Mullen sitting there crying with his face pressed against the window. That may be accurate.
For some reason, I have this vision of like Dan Mullen as a kid in A Christmas Story, looking at the Red Ryder BB gun.
Nicely done. Looking forward to watching that next week all day long. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Time, catch it. You know, never watch the whole thing, but like watch 3/4 of it over and over and over
again. Yeah, just catch it in spurts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. Gosh, I mean, we do need let's all hope that we get something where Dabo and or Dan will be screaming and crying this weekend.
That would be
we all need that.
That would be advantageous for all of us. With conference championship weekend tomorrow, do you still care about conference championship weekend? Like, does it have the same buzz to you? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We're Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Call Your Shot Friday coming up in the next segment starting at 7:45. So get those ready on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for your bold predictions for this weekend in the world of sports. And, Joe, speaking of the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, let's go back there. Drew, our buddy Drew, texts in and says, Mac Jones for Heisman, Devontae Smith for Heisman. By the way, everyone is sleeping on Najee Harris. So apparently everyone at Alabama is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
I mean, yeah, seriously, like how early in the year, I think one of those little informal polls, I had Najee first. I think it probably was after that Ole Miss game, right? Wasn't that the game where he
had like five touchdowns?
Ran for a million. Yeah. But come on. I mean, they can't all win. And plus, you don't want to, you know, if you want people to not sleep on someone on your team, that's how you split votes away. And then nobody wins, right? So you got to throw your support behind one candidate. It's got to be one of two guys right now.
I still think Mac Jones is the leader in the clubhouse, but I think Devontae Smith is the best player, if that makes sense. Like, I think Mac Jones is probably going to win. But Devontae Smith, I think, is the best player in college football.
Okay, so who would you vote for?
I would vote for Devontae Smith. I'm just saying I think Mac Jones is going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, it usually goes quarterback, you know. That's how it goes more and more. But I think there's a chance here. I mean, I think Devontae's got to do some spectacular stuff tomorrow.
I mean, if he just has a normal day for him, pretty spectacular.
Well, that's it is.
Good.
It is. But he needs even a day beyond the norm for him, you know? Like, he needs like a 230 receiving yards and a return for a touchdown, something like that.
So, Joe, we were talking to Ryan McGee earlier this hour about conference championships, and obviously you look at, you know, ACC title game tomorrow, Notre Dame and Clemson. You have Alabama and Florida in the SEC. And, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I was fired up for conference championship day. I would sit there all day long and watch it. And it just feels to me like it's lost its luster a little bit. Like, I get it. You know, you've got certain situations like Notre Dame and Clemson that I think could have a huge impact on the college football playoff. I think Alabama's going to roll in this game, and I think Alabama's probably going to be in no matter what. It just, I think sometimes with the college football playoff, the allure and the accomplishment of winning the conference title, to me, is almost gone in college football. I know Saban's talked about this a little bit. A lot of people around college football have talked about this, not only with conference championship games, but with bowl games as well. It just doesn't have the same feel to it for me as it did 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think it's still situational, though. First of all, I think overall, yes, there's so much focus on the playoff. You know, for whatever reason, you go from 2 to 4 because we had a, you know, we had a two-team playoff with the BCS. I mean, it's, you know, that's what we had. We had the two-team playoff, one game, but, you know, there was a race to get there, and there was, you know, the computers, remember, with the BCS. I mean, there was still some weirdness there. And I guess now you go to 4 and it does feel like nothing else matters. Like, being in those other big bowl games used to still mean a lot in the BCS era. And now it feels like, really, it's like you're either in the 2 semifinals or you're in whatever bowl game. But like Northwestern tomorrow. I mean, if Northwestern beats Ohio State, they're not going to get in the playoff. But that Big Ten championship will mean a ton to Northwestern. You know, so sure. I think it kind of depends on if you're one of these programs that we talk about all the time that are in these playoffs every year. You know, oh, great, our 27th Big Ten championship. Yeah, throw that in the stack over there. Great, whatever, right? We're going to the playoff. I think it depends on who you are a little bit. So, and look, I think that, You do look at these games somewhat as the first round of the playoffs. I mean, Notre Dame and Clemson, now, of course, we think they're probably both getting in. But there's an example of a game. We've certainly had some of these conference championship games where it's kind of like, you know, you win, you're in, and you lose, you're out. And to me, those are good. I mean, those are games we all want to watch. They mean a lot. You're right, though, that the actual championship part of it is secondary.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, this year of college football is only about economics. Universities just want the money, and stars wanted to get game tape for the NFL draft. The college football ratings and bowls are a joke this season. There's no way to really rate teams with COVID, players missing, and number of game differences. Joe, what do you make of those comments that this college football season, it just doesn't have the same luster? Now, I will say, I've heard this narrative a lot that, like, this college football season is about money. I hate to break this to you. Every college football season is about money. I hear what you're saying on this one, and that's why they're playing, because they don't want to miss out on the revenue. But I think we've discovered at this point, every single college football season is about money. That's what it's about.
Yeah. And again, let's keep in mind, because what we think of is like the coaches, the ADs, the administrators who are getting rich off this. Okay. Certainly, your NCAA president making $4 million a year, whatever it is. And obviously coaches making more than that. But let's also remember, like, this is a massive industry with a whole bunch of people who have jobs in the industry who aren't getting rich off it. They have jobs, they have careers. Let's remember the college towns and the bars and restaurants that actually still have suffered greatly this year, even with the games being played. There's a lot of people who depend on this stuff, and they're not people who are just fat cats getting rich on it, you know? But yeah, it's every year. I mean, it's a huge, huge industry. So you're exactly right, Robbie. This does feel more like let's just slog through this thing. We got to get that TV inventory. We got to get that stuff on TV, man. You know, we need our TV money, throw it on TV. So it's not the same. College football, more than any sport to me, is about those packed stadiums and the scenes outside the stadiums and the scenes on the field, the band, everything, there's nothing like it. And it's all been reduced, and it kind of strips away some of the things, like, to show you what it really is. It's just a huge industry. But again, it's not all people getting rich. So I you got to remember, like, Tennessee, a $40 million shortfall. That's why they asked for those pay cuts, to save some jobs, from people who work at the university, work in the athletic department, because they have a lot of people who do, and even the non-revenue coaches, at these places, they're not getting rich. They love what they do, and they're making a living. But this is all supported by football. So I think sometimes people think of it only in terms of the people at the very top of the, of the pyramid, so to speak.
I agree. And look, I do think it's easy to look at this season and say, all right, with everything we knew going into it and the discussion, especially like what the Big Ten was talking about and not playing this year, and then all of a sudden they reverse course when they see everybody else doing it, you can easily point to money from that perspective, and I get all that. But, that's just basically, it's a pro sport, essentially, without the players getting paid. That's essentially what this is here. You've got big-time business, big-time money floating around, and, it's no different this year. College football is a major, major moneymaker. It just is. And I think we've become more and more receptive to that fact over the last 10 to 15 years, especially. And let me tell you this, it's only going to get worse with some of these TV deals. The TV deal that the SEC announced last week, you imagine how much money the SEC is about to have floating around, with $300 million about to be on the books for ABC/ESPN starting in a few years. The money is just about to get worse. Or better, depending on which way you look at it. Yeah.
Or better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's huge money. And again, this is why we're long overdue because it's pro sports wrapped in, the hometown college. And it's why these guys who play, it really has, I really do go back and forth on this. I think you can look at this and it's like, man, it's really like they're being treated like employees, and yet they aren't. I also think there's a lot of value in most of these kids want to play. There's been the debate about playing college basketball or not. If you honestly polled the kids, you're going to get an overwhelming response to play because this is what they do best. These are some of the best athletes in the world playing college sports. It's hard to take that away from people, but the money's getting more, and this is why they need to, this is why name, image, likeness matters, and it should have been done long ago. And I hate that people are still trying to limit it and police it. Like, you can really police stuff like this. Let people make money off what they do great. as college students. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we're headed towards something on that front. I just don't know exactly where it's going to end up. It should be more of an open market than it probably will be.
Make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week, a battle between the Kansas City Chiefs and Elijah Campbell's beloved New Orleans Saints. Coverage begins at 2:45 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Let us know on our text line what those are, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Yes, it's that time, the beautiful time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be Titans. It could be Vols. Really take it anywhere you want to go. A conference championship this weekend in college football. Let us know what it is. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Ryan Porth, who has had, I think, on average, around 8.5 called shots on each Friday, he is joining us here in this segment. So, Ryan Porth, we will turn it over to you. How many called shots do you have this week, and what's your confidence level that you're going to actually hit some this week?
I've got a couple. By the way, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you, even though we can't see each other. I'm going to double down on the shot that I called earlier this week, which was that Derrick Henry is guaranteed.
Oh, I think we lost Ryan Porth there for a second.
And that is not going to change from what it is today.
All right, say it again. So the shot that Derrick Henry, we lost you for a second.
I think we once again lost Ryan Porth. We'll check back in with Ryan Porth here momentarily, but he's been a guy
his shots are such hot takes that it's like he's being launched into the sun, as Robbie likes to say.
Well, the truth of the matter is, we might need like an entire segment just for Porth shots by itself, because he takes so long to do it because he's always got 12. So we'll check back in with Ryan Porth here momentarily. Joe Rexroad, your called shot or shots of the week. Now, you've had an interesting approach to this. Sometimes you've got like, hey, this is what's going to happen this weekend. But other times, you've taken the longer view, the longer-term approach with your Call Your Shot Friday. Which way are you going this time?
Well, first of all, let's review real fast. So,
yes.
And by the way, December 4th, my called shot was what? That Vanderbilt will hire Clark Lee. So, thank you. Ding, ding, ding. A shot comes through for me.
Nice job.
Yes. You got to keep track of those old ones, because sometimes they look really smart. Sometimes they don't. And then I am less likely to mention them. Last week, I called the shot Derrick Henry will have less than 100 yards in a Titans win. No. I also called the Jeremy Pruitt not being Tennessee's coach in 2021 shot. So right now, I'll continue to remind you of that. I don't feel great about it, but it's out there.
Your efforts are appreciated.
Thank you. Porth had a 50-plus yard TD run with multiple stiff arms. And then the Wikipedia will have him be the owner and CEO of the Jaguars. So he didn't quite get that. Corey Davis, 100-yard second straight game, no. Tazar Skipper gets a sack, no. L.A. Rams will win the NFC West and play in the Super Bowl. So he's got one long-term one out there. His short-term shots didn't come through. You had Vanderbilt up at halftime.
It's close.
Which is close. And an NHL resolution, which is close. But I guess you were saying that by Monday it would be over.
Yeah, I was 0-2 last weekend.
We had a bad week. All right, so my shots here. First of all, I know that you guys, and I think Porth has something about Derek's as the NFL leading rusher. I forget. What was his shot?
Yeah, he's going to win the rushing title.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yes,
oh, there he is. Okay, all right. So rushing title for Derrick Henry. We'll put you down for that. I figured one of you might have something about Derek's, yard total. So I'm going with the Titans will beat the Lions, and Derrick Henry does not get a carry in the fourth quarter. Okay, so he will have zero, which would be sad, of course, for people hoping Derrick Henry makes a run to 2,000, but that's how I think this game will go.
Okay.
I'm also going to call the shot that Matt Prater will hit a 60-yard-plus field goal for the Lions. This is something that he does, and this is one of the few bright spots left on their team. Also, he's my fantasy kicker in the semifinals of the Titans Media League. Huh. Sorry, Kaharski and TD and all you people who are on the sidelines this week. In the semifinals, I need Matt Prater to have a big game.
Okay.
So there's that. I don't really have a long-term one. I've got a lot out there, so I'm going to hold off on the long-term ones this week. But I will do one more on the college football weekend. Brian Maurer will throw a touchdown pass for the Vols.
Oh, my goodness. And that one play he gets, nice RPO.
Exactly.
I like it.
He might get three plays. But okay, why not muddle and confuse this quarterback situation a little bit more?
You know what? I'm with you. Just go ahead and throw the whole thing just back into the blender. We'll see what comes out. My call shot for this week is simple. I've heard your Chase Daniel slander all week. I've tolerated it up until this point. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Chase Daniel will throw for two or more touchdown passes in this game against the Titans. Two or more for Chase Daniel.
Oh, my goodness. That's a shot.
I'm just telling you.
That's a shot that needs a chaser. My goodness.
I'm just telling you. Yeah. It's happening.
I'll go ahead and say that Derrick Henry is going to tote the rock in the fourth quarter. That's a called shot.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to oppose my shot with your own shot. Derrick Henry will have one carry, just one carry or more in the fourth quarter. Okay.
Seems like one of those free bets on one of the betting apps of, you know, over under 0.5 carries in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I'll take Derrick Henry.
So, Ryan Porth, real quickly, we'll revisit you. Do you have any more called shots outside of Derrick Henry winning the rushing title?
That it's already over. It is over. That is a called shot. I will also say that the four teams in the top four of the college football playoff, it will remain that way, and that Alabama wins the national championship.
Okay. So already calling another natty for Nick Saban and company at Alabama. I like that. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, Florida State will win this weekend. The second shot is Derrick Henry runs for more than 200 yards, and that Houston will beat the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. That would certainly help Titans fans if Houston is able to get that done and pull that off against Indy.
Wow. That's quite a shot. Yes. The Titans love the sound of that shot. Jeez.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael in Madison texts in and says, the Titans will become the third team in NFL history with a 2,000-yard rusher and two 1,000-yard receivers. So Michael predicting some big things from both Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis coming down the stretch here. A 2,000-yard runner and two 1,000-yard receivers.
There's one football, but it's possible. It's possible.
A.J. Brown and Corey Davis not that far away.
Is that your called shot, Joe, that there's one football?
Thank you.
My called shot is that there will only be one football at a time.
Just imagine how productive they could be.
Also, for Blake Topmeyer. Yeah, if they had more than one, right.
Well,
and for Blake Topmeyer, my called shot is that the first down chain will remain 10 yards long.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's bold.
Just imagine how productive that A.J. Brown and Corey Davis could be if they also had Mariota out there slinging it like he was last night.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, that dime to Waller, the A.J. Brown, think about, man, what if that ball could come in perfectly like that to me on a fade, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly help A.J. Brown in his quest for more highlight reel catches when the ball's thrown at his feet every play. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville texts in and says, my called shots for this week, the Chiefs will win by 20-plus against the Saints. The Texans will upset the Colts. The Titans win by 10 with Henry running for 225 and three touchdowns. And finally, in fantasy football, I have three teams playing this weekend with a chance to go to the finals, and all of my teams will win. Mark very confident in his fantasy team.
So these are called, we get these called shots where it's like basically like, what are all the things I really want to happen?
Yeah. And there's some of that sometimes. You got to have confidence.
Hey, good luck, Mark. Yeah. I mean, hey, it sounds like a heck of a week for you.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you've gotten three teams to this point in the fantasy playoffs are great. I mean, it's a good job by you. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, my called shot is Marcus Mariota has a starting job in the NFL next year.
Oh, there we go. I love the overreaction to one appearance of Mariota.
Well, you think he's the greatest player ever. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on now. I just don't think he's the worst player ever.
President of the Marcus Mariota Fan Club, Joe Rexroad. Joe Rule, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go. You are a Mari Hater, is what you are.
Yes. I was very happy to see him get back in last night. It was very entertaining.
You were gritting your teeth with every completion.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texts in, Joe will vote for Mac Jones in the Heisman race and finally give him the credit that he is due. That is Drew's called shot for the week.
But I'm sorry, I missed you there for a second. He said, I'll vote for Mac Jones?
Yes, that's what he said.
Okay. I will if he earns it. Earn the vote, Mac.
Lots of campaigning.
Right now, Devontae Smith is my number one.
Lots of campaigning going on for Drew Chester to Mac Jones. That's a great edition of Call Your Shot Friday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can continue to keep those rolling in on our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.